Welcome back to the Community Christian Church Downers Grove podcast. This week we're joined by Community Pastor Ted Canaris as we continue our series entitled How to Bless Your Neighbor. The series empowers us to carry out the mission of helping people find their way back to God by living out the blessed practices. This message was recorded live in Downers Grove on Sunday, August 11th. We have moved. Community in Downers Grove gathers on Sunday mornings at 9 and 10:45 at 3910 Highland Avenue in Downers Grove. A new home just for you is opening on September 15th in Downers Grove. Visit welcomehomedg.com to learn more. Follow us on social media at Community Downers Grove on Facebook and at Community DGR on Instagram. And if you'd like to give financially to support Community Christian Church in Downers Grove, visit givenow.cc. We had a slight technical difficulty yesterday, but Ted begins talking about a story from author Beth Moore about a time when she had been sitting in the airport and noticed an old man sitting in a wheelchair. He was abnormally thin, slumped over, and had the strangest thing about him was his hair. At that moment, she wrestled with God when she thought that he wanted to witness to this man. He wanted her to witness to this man, but in fact, God wanted her to brush his hair. She heads over to him to ask him if she could brush his hair, and here's where we pick up our story.
Who couldn't be more embarrassed at this ridiculous situation? And the man says, awkwardly, "I guess if you really want to." And so she had gotten this far and forgotten one very important piece of equipment. So she didn't have a comb. She goes, "Sir, I don't have a comb." And he said, "Well, I've got one in my bag." So she unzipped his bag, attached to the back of his chair, pulled out the comb, and just started brushing the man's hair. And she was brushing and brushing and brushing. And she said this: "A miraculous thing happened. As I started brushing this old man's hair, it was as if everybody else in the room disappeared. There was no one alive for those moments except that man and me. And I brushed and I brushed and I brushed until every tangle was out." And I know this sounds so strange, but she says, "I've never felt that kind of love for another human being in my entire life. I believe that in my heart," for what she said must have been a few minutes, she felt just a small portion of God's incredible love for this man. She was overwhelmed by these emotions that were so strong, so pure, that she knew that it had to be God's love. And when his hair was finally soft and smooth and tangle-free, she took the brush, she put it back in the man's chair, she again got down on her knees, looked at the man and said, "Do you know Jesus?" He looked at her and said, "Yes, I do know Jesus. In fact, I came to know Jesus through my bride. She wouldn't have anything to do with me until I came to know who Jesus was. And in fact, I just had heart surgery, and I've been very sick. And he had just spent months in the hospital. And his bride had been also very sick and had been unable to visit him for the entire time he was away." And he said, "I was sitting there thinking how ridiculous I must look going back to my bride like this." Beth concludes by saying, "Only God knows how often he allows us to be part of a divine moment. When we're completely unaware of the significance, God had intervened in the details only he could have known. It was a God moment that she'll never forget." How do you feel when you hear stories like this? Does it stir something in you? If you're like me, it probably makes you cry. You feel something. You feel something strong just looming up inside of you. But then there's another side as well, right? How many of you are also willing to admit, and I'm raising my hand, not as an example, but as the truth, that these stories are also a little terrifying, right? Like, we love hearing these stories about other people. Like, I'm so glad that that happened to someone else, right? Like, I'm not sure how I feel about that happening to me. And so this morning, I want to just be real straight up and honest with you guys. This mission that we're called to be all about as a church, that Garrett mentioned a few minutes ago during the introduction here, to help people find their way back to God, it's an adventure. It's an adventure, and sometimes it throws us into crazy situations. We never know where he might send us. We never know what he might lead us into. See, following Jesus is not something that's just meant to be comfortable and warm and secure. We can have those moments, certainly, but it's meant to be life-changing. And wherever there's change, wherever there's life change, there's also awkwardness. Just ask any teenager, right? It's impossible for there to be growth. It's impossible for there to be life change without it being also difficult at times, challenging at times, uncomfortable at times. And the same is true of our life with God. It's meant to be life changing, not just for you, but for the people around you as well. And that's why we're focusing in on this series called How to Bless Your Neighbor. And it's all about our mission of helping people find their way back to God. Now, what we need to understand, we say this all the time here at Community, is that this mission of helping people find their way back to God, it's not just like the church slogan, right? It's not just like the church's mission statement. It's all of our mission statement. And it's something that we need to live out, not just say. As a follower of Jesus, an inherent part of following him is doing what he did, and what he did was help people find their way back to God. That's what he was about. That's what we're about. Not just as a church, but as people, as individuals, you and me, us. But I fear that too often, we get really comfortable just sort of sitting on the sidelines and hoping that somebody else will get in the game and help people find their way back to God. Too often, we slip into just sort of hoping that people find their way back to God, which is a great place to start. We should all, and I think most of us probably do, really hope that our friends, family, neighbors, coworkers find their way back to God. But how do we move from just hoping people find their way back to God to actually helping people find their way back to God? Well, we believe it all starts with being a blessing. And being a blessing is not just some new strategy that we've concocted in our minds. This is something that's started from the very beginning of time, all the way back in the book of Genesis. We see God calling Abraham and his people, and he tells them, you will be a blessing. You are going to be blessed, and you will be a blessing to the whole world. That is our mission. And so one of the ways we help remember that here is through this acronym, BLESS. And each one of these letters represents a different sort of missional practice that couldn't be more available to each of us in our daily lives. And today, we're going to start with the very first one, B, which stands for Begin with Prayer. Now, for how many of you does prayer sort of seem like flossing or getting to bed at a reasonable hour, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's something you know you should do. You probably want to do more of it and be more consistent with it, but you're just not, right? How many of you have those experiences? You go to the dentist and they say, hey, how's the flossing going? Same as it was last time, doc. I don't know what to tell you. You're in there. You tell me, you know? But I mean, we have that same feeling. We're like, I should be doing this. I want to be doing this. It's just really hard to be more consistent with it. I think there are a lot of reasons why we struggle being consistent with prayer, and I want to share a couple of them with you here this morning. The first reason why I think we don't pray is that we simply don't know how to pray. Many of us, as a kid, maybe in Sunday school or in a different kind of church or something like that, or with your family or whoever, you maybe learned how to pray when you were young, when you were maybe about this tall, right? Which is wonderful. But the problem is, there's been no training in between here and here, and most of you are like here, but, right? All of these years, as you became an adult, the training or understanding or equipping on how to pray hasn't been there. And so we want to pray, but we're just carrying around a very elementary toolbox and we're not sure how to take a next step, so we don't pray. Secondly, I think a big reason why we don't pray is that we're just too busy. We're just too busy. This is the one that I struggle with a lot. Prayer takes time. Prayer takes focus. Prayer takes energy. Anybody feel like they have a surplus of time, focus, and energy? Yeah, I didn't think so, right? It's hard to pray when we feel like we're constantly in a deficit of the very things we need to pray. And so it slips through the cracks. Thirdly, sometimes I think we don't pray because we doubt it works. Now, this is a place where we need to be honest about where we're at and the experiences that we've had in life. And I know that some of you here today, you've prayed. You've really put your heart and soul behind prayer for something, a situation, whatever it may have been in your life. And you felt like that prayer went unanswered. And that's really hard. That is really hard. I've had that happen in my own life. And I know it can leave you feeling like, why do I keep doing this? Does it really work? And that doubt kind of snowballs into a life where you just kind of stop because you don't really buy it. The truth is, there are all kinds of reasons why we don't pray. But today, I want to try to challenge every one of us to see that when it comes to our core purpose in life, the mission that God has equipped and given each of us to help people find their way back to God, to be a blessing to the people around you, begins with prayer. Prayer is where our mission is discovered. Prayer is where our mission begins. Prayer is where our mission is accomplished. Prayer is where this community and this space began. Prayer is going to be where our impact and our future as a community is determined. A life marked by consistent and persistent prayer is a hallmark of being a follower of Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did. He prayed. Here is God, come down to earth. You think if anybody had an excuse not to pray, it'd be this guy, right? He's like, I got it. Don't need to pray, right? But what we see in Jesus' life is he's constantly praying. You flip through the New Testament, the first four books of the New Testament, or the story of Jesus' life, and you'll see Jesus praying, Jesus praying, Jesus praying. Before his baptism, you see Jesus praying. You're constantly seeing Jesus' son withdrawing from crowds and all the pressure on his time, his energy, and his focus, and he withdraws by himself to go pray. He prays for his friends. He prays before he performs miracles. He prays all night long before the day he's crucified. Jesus is constantly praying. And I want to look at one specific instance that we find in the New Testament of Jesus praying that I think really highlights just how critical this is for our life. Jesus is about to pick the people who are going to lead the movement to the ends of the earth. So right now, it's this small little band of people, 12, you know, maybe 170 or 100 people following around Jesus from town to town in this sort of middle of nowhere place in the Middle East. Now, Jesus knows this is a movement that's going to spread across the world. It's going to change forever. And so he's going to pick the people that he's going to invest in so that this mission of helping people find their way back to God can move to the ends of the earth. Pretty big moment, don't you think? How is he going to decide? Who is he going to pick? Well, let's look at what Jesus does. And I think you won't be surprised. He begins with prayer. In Luke 6, 12 through 16, it says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles, Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor." Jesus wanted to identify who were these few people that I was going to, he was going to invest deeply in to be his apprentices so that this mission of people finding their way back to God could spread all the way across the world. And I'm sure in that pool of people, there was all kinds of people who seemed full of potential. People who maybe seemed like, man, they're just filled with all kinds of leadership skills. I'm sure there were people in his group of followers who had a certain kind of disposition or personality that made them seem like obvious choices. But Jesus makes some very unobvious choices. He chooses fishermen, tax collectors who were hated, and even one guy who would end up betraying him. See, Jesus ends up making a lot of unobvious decisions after he begins with prayer. Now, why is this important? Well, this is important because sometimes God leads us into unexpected places to bless unexpected people in unexpected ways. And the only way we can discover that mission, the only way we can be fully present in those God moments is if we begin with prayer. I want to share an example with you from Rodrigo Cano. He's our community pastor at our Aurora location. And he recently moved here from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he shared a story that I wanted to share with you about an unexpected opportunity that he had to bless an unexpected person in an unexpected way. So let's listen to Rodrigo's story.
2 years ago, I was still living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I had been praying to God for God to show me who I needed to bless. And I have to be honest, I did not hear a voice, an angel did not appear to me, but it was more like a hunch, a feeling that I needed to go to a place called the Downtown Market. And so I go there, I park my car, I start walking, and I start praying. And all of a sudden, I see a man who's standing by the door, and you can see that his clothes are dirty, he looks unkempt, and he's asking for money. As I get closer, I realize that he's also speaking Spanish. And once again, I did not hear a voice, but it was something inside of me that told me that I needed to do something. So I get close to this man, and I ask him, hey, is there anything that I can do for you? And so he tells me that the ministry that feeds the homeless in the city was closed for the day, and he was really, really, really hungry. He had not eaten anything. So I invite him to eat some tacos with me. When we're there, I tell him, order as much as you want. He tells me, I don't want to abuse your generosity. So he orders a few tacos. And while we're eating, we're having conversations about family and about different things. On our way out, before we said our goodbyes, I told him, you know what? I'm a Christ follower, and I just want to let you know that God loves you. When he heard those words, his eyes started to tear up. And so he tells me, you know, my brother is a pastor in Mexico, and I spoke to him this week, and he told me that God was gonna send someone to remind me how much God loves me, and you're that person. I started to tear up as well, and we started to pray. I prayed for him, and we exchanged numbers. I committed to follow up with him. Following week, I'm trying to reach out to him and looking for him, and I'm asking around, and they tell me that he decided to go back to Mexico because he knew that he needed to change, to do a change in his life, and he knew that he couldn't make it in Michigan. I know that we are supposed to bless, but I've never imagined that the answer to my prayer was the answer to somebody else's prayer thousands of miles away.
Helping people find their way back to God. If we really want to be a blessing to the lives of those around us, and as a result experience more blessing in our own life, we have to begin with prayer. Now, I know it can be uncomfortable, and I know it can feel risky. I can tell you that for seasons of my life, I was scared, just like many of you are, to go to that place of prayer with a truly open hand saying, God, I'll do whatever you ask. Scary. It's hard. There were seasons where all I could pray was, God, I don't feel like I can do that right now. I just don't. It scares me. I don't know what you're going to ask me. I didn't know if he's going to ask me to move to China or Downers Grove, right? I had no idea. And so I had to pray until my heart was able to do this. Whew. And then I could receive the blessing and I could be a blessing to others. See, in prayer, we open ourselves to God in the leading of His Spirit. In prayer, we focus our minds to recognize His promptings. In prayer, we receive the direction, we discover the people and the places that God is calling us to bless. There's this great quote from a missionary to China from Britain, a guy named Hudson Taylor. And he said this, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the word of God and prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him." Right? To live out the mission of helping people find their way back to God, we have to begin with prayer. How many of you are Stranger Things fans here? The show Stranger Things? How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay, this is not going to go well. Okay. Stranger Things is a show. It's a good show, kind of like a sci-fi thriller show on Netflix. And a big part of the story is about this town in the middle of nowhere, Indiana, that's like a thin spot, right? Like it's a thin spot between two worlds. There's Earth as we know it, and then there's this other place called the Upside Down. You can think of it like hell. It's a terrible place, right? And in this town, a gate opens up between these two worlds. And all of a sudden, all these terrible things from the Upside Down, this other place, start entering into our world and wreaking havoc. Now today, while we were praying with our prayer team before the service like we do every day, we pray over all of these chairs, over each of you before you come here. I felt like God was bringing that story to mind, and not because I watched it last night, I didn't. But because God was showing me that what we're doing when we pray is the opposite of that. You see, the truth is that when we pray, it's like we're tearing a hole between heaven and earth. And we're allowing the realities of heaven, the goodness, the life, the hope, the joy, the peace, the self-control, the gentleness, the righteousness, the goodness, the opposite of anything negative that we experience in this world. When we pray, it's like tearing a hole between worlds and letting the flood of God's Spirit come into this place and change our reality. Not to wreak havoc, but to bring healing. And a part of our prayer for this space is that this would be like a thin place in this little middle-of-nowhere town of Downers Grove, where together we could be a community that's committed to prayer, that would tear a hole between heaven and earth, that the realities that we experience in our own lives, in our families, in our marriages, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with us as a church, with our community, with our world, would be so radically different, so full of love and joy and peace and all the fruit of God's Spirit, it would be as if heaven arrived already. That's what we're all about. And it all begins with the simple, quiet act of prayer. So how do we move forward? What does it look like for us to move in the direction of prayer? Well, I want to give you three really practical next steps that I think will help all of us take up this challenge to become a people of prayer. First, we need to plan. How many of you are like me, and if something doesn't end up on your calendar, it doesn't end up happening? Yeah? That's like most of us, I think, right? We're so busy, we've got so many things going on. If it's important, it makes it onto our calendar. If we're going to prioritize prayer, it needs to be on our calendar. Maybe for some of you, it's the first 5 minutes when you wake up in the morning or the last 5 minutes before you go to bed. Maybe you set an alarm on your telephone at lunch that just says pray. And maybe all you do is just go to prayer and say, God, I'm listening. Who do you want me to bless? Or say, God, I need to experience your blessing in this area of my life. And then just listen. That's all you need to do. You don't have to have any fancy words. It's just going to God in prayer will help you identify your mission, will empower you to be able to walk on that path, will give you the courage you need to actually obey and move forward to experience these God moments in your life, and you will experience a snowball of blessing in your own life as a result. But we need to plan. We need to plan. Secondly, we need to prepare. We need to prepare our hearts for the adventure that God might call us to. Just like I mentioned a few minutes ago about seasons of my life where I felt like I couldn't really pray, God, I'll go wherever, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Because the truth was, there was a part of me, and I wasn't sure what it was holding on. I was kind of like, God, I'm open, right? And slowly, he just kind of helps me do this. He prepares my heart for the next step. If you were to ask me 5-6 years ago if I could be doing this, I would have said no. I would have said no, just flat out. And yet, here I am. And it happened, it started, it began with prayer. We need to pray that God would prepare our hearts for the adventure he's calling you to. Thirdly, we need to ask God to show us the people and places that he's calling us to be a blessing to. Who are the people and the places that God is uniquely calling you to be a blessing to? You see, each of us end up in different places. Each of us are surrounded by different people. But who are those people and what are those places? It takes some intentionality to actually think through, okay, a mental map. I'm starting at home. I'm in the car. I can't bless people on my way to work. It's pretty maddening. But once I'm there, maybe I can bless someone there, right? You all have your different spots. You all have your different people that you're called to bless. And it's in prayer that we ask God, who are those people? Where are those places? And then in prayer where we get the courage to actually follow through on the opportunities as they arise. So we need to plan. We need to prepare. And we need to think through who are the people and places that God has called us to bless. Maybe to be a coworker, a neighbor, a staff at your favorite coffee shop, somebody in your networking group, or somebody from your kids' little league teams or soccer teams, or you know, somebody from your MOPS group. I don't know where it is, but I know that God is calling you to uniquely bless people in your life. And I know it begins with prayer. So here's what I want us to do. Each of you, when you came in, you got one of these cards inside your program. Go ahead and pull that out. And what this is it's just a reminder of the 5 blessed practices. And remember today, if you just woke up, we're beginning with prayer, the first one. And I want you to use this. If you know where you're called, the people and places where you're called to be a blessing, I want to invite you to write those things down. And to put this on your bathroom mirror, to put it in a book or in your Bible or someplace where you know you're going to see it every day as a reminder to be praying, to be beginning with prayer for these people and these places so that you can be sent out on this mission to be a blessing to the world and to help people find their way back to God. If you don't know, I want to invite you to use this card as a reminder to pray, to ask God, to begin with prayer and say, God, show me. I have no idea. Who are the people? Where are the places that I'm called to bless? And I want you to pray over this card and fill it in. This is something that all of us can be a part of. And I dream of a day where we gather here and all we can do is just tell stories. Tell stories about brushing people's hair. Tell stories about eating tacos with a stranger. Tell stories about who knows what. But God knows. And he's preparing these moments. Scripture tells us he's prepared them from before the beginning of time for us to be able to walk into and experience the fullness of his blessing for us and his blessing for others. The question is, will you receive it? Will you jump in the game? Or will you sit in the sidelines? So I thought, what better way for us to end than by us actually praying right now. Sound like a plan? So what I want to do is I want to just really briefly, I'm going to invite the band up on stage here now. I'm going to just very briefly walk us through a time of prayer to do exactly what we just talked about. So that when you leave here, you can continue doing this every day. So would you pray with me now? Father, give us the desire to pray. So often, Lord, we let the busyness of life, the focus on other things or ourselves, crowd out that which is most important, and we just miss it. We miss all kinds of opportunities to make an impact, to bless a life, to experience the blessing in our own life. And so, God, prepare our hearts for the adventure. God, give us clarity as to the people and places you're calling us to bless. God, you are awesome. No one compares to you. We come confessing that many times we struggle to pray. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to come before you. So we ask, give us a desire to pray. Prepare our hearts to bless others. And God, make it evident to us the places and people that you're calling us to bless. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today, we're going to conclude by singing some songs together, but also sharing in communion. And in communion, we have this amazing opportunity every week to literally receive a symbol of the blessing that we've been given by Jesus Christ through his death and his resurrection, which is symbolized in the bread and the cup, his body and his blood, his body which was given to us to be reconciled with God, to experience the reality of heaven, to have direct access to the creator of the universe, and his blood which was shed for the forgiveness of our infinite failures, how we keep falling short, how we don't measure up. God doesn't look at you and say, man, I wish you did more. He looks at you and he says, I love you. I love you. You are my precious child. And nothing can change that. Communion is a symbol of that reality. So as we go in our challenge to be a blessing, beginning with prayer, I first want you to receive a blessing. Receive the blessing of Jesus through communion. Ushers, come.
Hey, Community Pastor Ted Canaris here. Thanks for listening to our podcast today. If you were inspired, encouraged, or challenged by what you heard today, I just want to encourage you to join a small group. It's the best way to keep the conversation going and to dive into what we're talking about every week with others asking the same questions as you. The best way to do that is to text SGINFO, all caps, one word, SGINFO, to 313131, and we'd love to help connect you into a small group today. Thanks again, and have a great day.